This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
You're listening to the best of FUBAR Radio.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
My guest today is Scroobius Pip. You all right, mate?
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for inviting me on this lovely sunny day.
It is very sunny, isn't it? But actually not as hot in here as I thought it'd be. I was quite worried we were going to be...
No, it's all right. It's pleasingly cool.
It's pleasing. Very pleasing. I was saying to you, you're the first guest who is on my iPod.
Excellent.
We have not had a guest who's actually on my
That's
iPod
exciting.
Before.
That's exciting. I'm honoured.
Yeah, and you are the most played person on this show anyway.
Amazing.
The Shuffle favours you.
I was going to say, did you accidentally have... A Shuffle album on by accident. It's just purely by chance. Yeah, took your four songs
said the exact same thing. Just played your entire album all the way through.
See, I don't even remember downloading this, but it's coming up a lot.
Whoever this familiar. Guy is, let's book him for the show. Why not?
Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Well, some guests of Angela Barnes. You saved her from what was at one point a very embarrassing streak. She was not happy with what was coming up. And then Angles came on, and she celebrated in the chair you're sitting in now. Yeah. Just proper fist pumped in the air.
I'm very
really happy,
pleased with that. I wondered where it was going. I saved her from an embarrassing streak. I was literally thinking a streak. I was like, I don't even remember this. I don't remember this happening. But yeah,
is it your more crazy days?
That's wonderful though.
How are you feeling about your? Are you feeling confident? Or?
I'm feeling comfortable, not confident, but comfortable because I've always had a thing. Me and my mate Stu Tell for years had always said I hated it when the term guilty pleasures started to become a regular thing in our lexicon, because if you like it, we don't need any guilt involved here. It's all right. It's good. So it's kind of, But I also, I'm always a massive fan of when you realise that there's a lot of music that you'll love that your fan base will absolutely hate. I'm okay with that, but often the fan base aren't. I'll post a song, I'm like, oh, I love this song so much. And they'll be like... Because it's nothing like me, and they'll assume that I only listen to stuff that's like,
we've had like hardly any musicians on this show yet, which seems crazy, but I just don't know many. And so to actually see what a musician listens to, it's gonna be quite fun as well.
I mean, the reality is, I listen to mainly podcasts at the moment because I'm just in that zone, but
that's great. If they come up, that'll fill a lot of time.
That'll just kill that's the rest of the show. Play that out.
Cheers, mate. It's your own podcast. You can move on.
What I'm concerned about, actually, if any of my own songs come up on my iPod.
Yes.
Because there's some I often delete, but we did a gig years ago where I was doing I'd done my solo stuff, and then I was doing a solo gig with my band, and then the first gig in ages with Dan Lesac on another stage afterwards, and I'd got quite drunk during my solo gig.
Right.
And me and Dan were doing a show, and I forgot the words to one of the songs, and that's never happened before. And literally, I made a joke of it, we started again. Yeah. Couldn't get it. So on the journey to our next gig the next day, I listened to all our albums on repeat just to go, right, I need to...
Right,
I've got too comfortable here. I've got too comfortable in what I do and not...
Have you done many gigs drunk? I've done three.
I used to always drink... You see, it was kind of at Edinburgh Fringe. I stopped drinking at shows because I used to always drink a bottle of rosé on stage.
Right, okay.
Because... Beer or cider makes me burpy. And if you're doing a dramatic poem about suicide, you don't really want to burp in the middle. So I started to drink wine, but then they're also quite energetic gigs. And I'd realise I'm drinking it. And because of the adrenaline, I'm not getting that drunk. But I'd realise I've just done 20 shows this month, which means I've drunk around between 15 and 20 bottles of wine, because most nights I'd get through the whole thing. But So at the Fringe, like when I knew I was doing 19 shows in a row, I thought, I need to go to water. I can't drink a bottle of wine every day for 19 days. And
well, you say that, but a lot of my comedian friends in Edinburgh.
A lot will be fine with that. They'll say it's essential. But
so that's breakfast.
Yeah, I've kind of, I've eased up. And again, it was weird. I realised that I used to drink early on because I was nervous. And now I've been doing it a long time, I don't need that. So it's so kind of being... forced to do gigs sober for a bit.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, actually, I'm probably doing a better job here because I'm not stumbling about.
Yeah, that
so
first
much.
Sober gig, did it feel really good coming off stage and going, that was...
It really did, because actually I said the spoken word ones, I was like, but it's spoken word, it's different. I'll still need it for the energy of a proper live show with music. And then mine and Dan's next tour, I'd just got over tonsillitis like days before the tour started, so I had to drink water. And again, it was another one where the first one, I was like, that felt like one of the best performances I've done. And again, it could be an amalgamation of I'd gone off. I think Edinburgh and places like that are amazing for honing your actual general skills on stage. So it could be that I'd developed in different ways. But yeah, I kind of put a bit of it down to the fact that I wasn't horrendously drunk.
Yeah.
So that kind of, it felt good.
It's good, those milestones, isn't it? We can look back and say, I've got better.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
It barely happens, but like...
DJing, I'm way better drunk. Every time I've DJed sober, not good. Drunk seems to give me... But there's a point, obviously. Yeah, it's finding that sweet spot.
I've had very few... The reason why this show's on shuffle pretty much is because when I am left in charge, I don't really please, but I did a DJ set once in Kettering, where I'm from, and it ended with about five guys chanting wanker at me.
Brilliant.
And me being terrified. So I've never really been very good at DJing.
When I started off DJing years ago, I used to play punk songs at like a goth and metal kind of biker night.
Yeah.
And I got away with that for a bit. And then I started to try and... sneak some hip hop in there, and I played a street song because me and a few of my mates were going to see the Streets that night, and one of the bikers who had shares in the club or something came up and told the guy who'd booked me to let me know if I don't stop playing this N-word music, they're gonna kill me, essentially.
Amazing.
So I went from white London-based Mike Skinner to a bit of KRS-One, a bit of Public Enemy, because I was like, right, I'm just going to go out on a stretcher if I need to. I was only going to play one rap song, but if you're going to be hugely racist, I was like, right, I'd rather make a stand here and get my head kicked in. But I managed to sneak out. I was never invited back, obviously. That was that gig didn't continue, but it was worth it.
Oh, good on you. Yeah, I remember pressing play, the guy was telling me to play Oasis.
Yeah.
And I didn't, but I simply couldn't, I didn't have any.
Yeah.
That was the thing, is that they were requesting things that I didn't have.
Yeah.
So like I couldn't do it. And I think I was DJing for an hour, and then the proper DJ was going to come back on. So I was like, mate, I'm just doing a guest slot. It's, it's 8 o'clock till 9.
Yeah.
This isn't your whole night. And he was like, and he kept from going back and forth. And eventually I remember looking at him in the eye where he told me the next song better be Oasis. And the band was Sixth, who are horrible math metal band. And he was so angry.
Oh,
I remember hearing it come on.
I love it. I love the illusion that they think you've got exactly what they want
you
in your collection. I had my club night. I do a club night called We Are Lizards. Quick plug there at the book club every month. And as the guy who was closing on Saturday, his amazing DJ called Push Music, was playing this. It'd gone quite electro-y and dancey. And someone, with literally 10 minutes left of the whole club night, he's got everyone into this euphoria. This guy came and went, can you play... A Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. And I love that song. I think it's a great song,
really
song. But I kind of, in my own drunk way, was trying to explain to him, how in 10 minutes, how would he get from what he's playing now to that?
Yeah.
Like, without just going, stop.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, we're now going to end on... It was like, he mixes together and trends. I was like, I don't know how you'd get to that. If you had an hour, then maybe.
It's like, go up to a mum who's watching Octonauts with her child and going, do you want to put Brass Eye on next?
Can you just pop that on quickly?
Put that on, I like that one.
It's brilliant, I love it. You're listening to the best of football.
My name's James Acaster. Welcome to my new FUBAR show. My guest today, Lemba Opec. How are you, mate? You all right?
Very, very well. Delighted to be here. Love the new format and concerned and excited to see what comes out of my mystery machine.
Yes, now you've got it all set up. I'm going to unplug my iPod and hand the lead over to you right now. It's very exciting.
The lead has passed to a new generation of iPod.
Do you think you've got quite a cool iTunes?
I think so, actually, because lots of my stuff's really obscure.
Mm.
And I always think obscure is interesting. I don't tend to save very much mainstream or modern stuff, because you can get that anywhere all the time.
Yeah.
So it's stuff that I listen to when I'm writing. I do tons and tons of writing. And that's when I use it. Though, funnily enough, I've got iPod problems today, as you can see. And sometimes I use other things as well. I've got Adele with trans music on it too, and it's always on shuffle. Because what is life without adventure? As you've shown by increasing your stature no end.
Absolutely.
With Muppet lovers all over the world.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, let's throw to yours right now. Let's
press
shuffle and see what tunes inspire Lembix Opec's brilliant writing. Here we go.
Oh.
FUBAR Radio.
Ooh. Natalie Imbruglia. First song on... Now, Lambert, I hope I can convey to the listeners your joy when that came on. Punch in the air and shouting, yes, such a cool song.
Well, I realise this is not a competition, it's a war. You had the Muppets, I had Big Mistake. How cool is that? And I can assure you at home, that was entirely a random selection.
Oh, I don't think anyone's doubting that for a second.
Amazing,
definitely
yeah.
was a...
What a great song. What a great
I haven't
song.
Heard it in a while.
I haven't listened to it for ages. I do sort of listen to stuff randomly myself because yeah, it's more interesting. You know, I regulate everything. The free creative thought. But yes, okay, I would say that Muppets is good, but this time
Imbruglia.
I just get it by a whisker.
Did you like Torn by Natalie Imbruglia? Do you remember that song?
I do, totally iconic, classic song, actually.
Amazing song.
And she deserves everything, all the happy success that she's had. I was going to say, she deserves everything she's got, that sounds terrible.
She deserves everything in the world, that woman.
Yes, Natalie Imbruglia. To me. Well, not everything in the world. I mean, I'm not quite that generous. But certainly, well, I don't know. Sorry, this is going in a dangerous direction now.
She might be waiting. She might have heard this show. She'd be outside waiting for you.
And Natalie, I'll be finished at 6.
There you go.
Yep. And you decide if you want a Muppet lover or, indeed, somebody who loves you, baby.
I wasn't throwing my hat in the ring for that.
I don't
but,
know.
There you go.
You have now. You know.
I'll have Miss Piggy waiting for me. I think we should have another one from your...
Already?
Your one. Yeah, I think, you know, follow up, keep the momentum. You're on a roll. You're on a roll. You got Natalie Imbruglia, kicked it off very nicely. What are you hoping for in your heart now?
I'm actually hoping for All Saints, actually.
Yeah.
They're buried in there somewhere. I haven't listened to that for a long time either, but it could be anything from Hundreds. Also, I should warn you that I've got some tracks there which aren't really tracks at all. The computer thinks they're tracks, but they're recordings from a radio show that I did many years ago and didn't actually work out, but somehow got absorbed in the collection. I normally just go past
them. So
there's
some of you talking to other people?
Yeah. We'll see who comes up. You never know. You
might if that even happens, know I'm not going to skip it. We're going to play that whole interview that you've done with someone else.
Unless it's the 30-minute version.
It's a 30-minute
version. Yeah, but it could be the most
easiest show I've ever done if we do that.
We can go to the pub with Miss Piggy and Natalie then.
Yeah, me and you, and we'll come back when that's finished. Well, let's see what... Let me open this next track.
Right, let's see what comes up.
Tension in the air.
Right, the shuffle is happening. Let's see what happens. Okay.
Kelly Watch the Stars by Air, which... I think is cooler than Natalie Imbruglia. Lambert wasn't convinced, but then about halfway through you went, this is cool.
I decided I was suddenly becoming super cool.
Yeah.
With my Aston Martin parked outside, if only that was the case. I've been lucky, James.
I mean, it's been good. I mean, also, though, I have Kelly Watch the Stars on my iPod, so
it could come up twice. It could come up. This is actually a bit, maybe not from the same album. Both this and the previous song came out from, I think, different discs of the Brit 1999 Awards album. I've been very lucky. When I was an MP, I used to hang around quite a lot with people from the music industry. And then I was lucky enough to go to some of these awards, and they'd give these out in the freebies afterwards. So I didn't even pay for that album.
Oh, but man, you're looking cooler than me, and you haven't even paid for it. I downloaded that Muppet song. 79p.
Did you really?
Out of pocket.
You
actually
paid for it.
I bought the whole album. For the latest, or not the latest Muppets film, that's a Muppets film with Jason Segel in it.
That worries me because that means there's 10 times more risk of having another Muppet song than I thought.
Oh, there's more than 10. There's loads of Muppets. There's even like little snippets of Kermit just talking for 5 seconds and stuff like that. Like just stuff from the film. They use it to link up tracks. So I've got that on here. Who knows?
It's more like a counselling session now, James.
Yeah, I think I'm dependent on this next song.
I want to hear your next one, and we can compare it to what we've just heard.
Well, see if it saves me. See what happens. okay, here we go. James Acaster's iPod, track 2. No. 320 by Cloud Dead on my iPod. I mean, let's face it, that kind of stuff doesn't get much radio play. These days, people don't really get to hear some nice electronic dirge just played repeatedly. Lambert, reactions to that?
I'm just not depressed enough to enjoy it, James. Really. I mean, if I want to be really depressed, I'll listen to Leonard Cohen. And that's not fair, actually, James. I like that. There's a bar called Gilgamesh in Camden in London, and that's the kind of music you'd hear there.
I did like it.
I should head
down to Gilgamesh.
You would be a hero probably there, because I would say that they'll all know Cloud Dead there and 320. I think it's cool because it's alternative, it's not mainstream, and it says something about yourself, mainly positive.
Where it's tripped me up, which is annoying, is that every other song on that album is quite melodic and fun and rappy, and then that one song is like that, and my iPod's gone, I heard you were doing your shuffle show today. Here you go. You're not getting any of the melody of Cloud Dead, just that.
Have you seen a film called Her, H-E-R?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
Well, it reminds me of that, because maybe in the film Her, if you haven't seen it, a computer, an operating system, an OS, and a human begin to develop a relationship. And yep. She communicates in various ways. Maybe your OS is telling you something.
What would you think to end my life? I mean, it was a depressing bit of music.
It wasn't that emo-ish.
It wasn't. Let's see what the next song is. My iPod again. I mean, here we go. Let's see. Breaking Ground by Branson. That's cool. One that I think people can't really get me on because it's pretty much no one's heard of them.
It's cool. I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
that was good. I liked it.
There's a bit in there that was quite emotional. I felt quite emo-y. It was a little bit whiny,
but maybe whiny, but energetically whiny instead of the "I give up" sort of 320 type sound.
Yeah, the Cloud Dead one. We felt quite sad. Yeah, brought our mood down. That pepped us up.
Yeah,
a bit.
Yeah, it's kind of like a caffeine. It's like Red Bull on air, really.
Yeah. That song reminds me of when I was 17. I started hanging out with people who were in their 20s and they were all listening to that album. So I got it to kind of be cool and being with them.
It reminds me of The Jungle, actually. I was in The Jungle, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, with none other than Sean Ryder from Happy Mondays.
Yes.
And oftentimes when I've been in Manchester music scene, because I do actually work a little bit with a record label called Defcon 2 in the Midlands,
lovely.
That's often the support kind of band that we get. And there's a band we're working with called The Wolves. They're somewhere in my computer. Might come up. The Wolves are like that, but like turbocharged like that. You'll hear a lot about them in the next couple of months.
People are describing them as the next Branson.
They will be saying that, and they'll say, we know that because we listened to James's show on Fubar Radio.
That is the only place you'll hear Branson in this day and age. Let's face it, no one else is playing Branson's Breaking Ground song from their 1999 album.
They should be paying you a royalty in that case.
Yeah, I should be having them phoning me immediately. I don't think I'm quite out the woods yet. I don't think I'm quite got back. You're still on a winning streak as far as I've been twice lucky.
You're
being twice lucky. How are you feeling now?
More nervous.
More nervous now?
The higher they climb, the further they fall. I think that was a David Cassidy album. My sister had a
imagine long if that's what ago. Comes up now.
I haven't got it.
It was just David Cassidy comes up immediately and you look like a wizard or a cheat.
It will be my OS going mental and unilaterally importing stuff from the ether.
I love how you saw Her and you're kind of thinking that maybe that's going to turn out to be your life at some point. I would like it if it is.
I haven't got many friends.
No, just me, you and Scarlett Johansson.
That's right. In fact, there's nobody else in the studio, if you're listening in. It's just like the computer keeps talking to me.
Yeah, I am an OS. I'm not a real... Lemmy's completely rigged this shuffle as well.
But you don't look the way I imagine Scarlett Johansson looks.
Potato, potato.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
My name is James Acaster. This is my show. Hey... Tell me if you recognise this voice.
Good-ish news.
Rick Edwards.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm sorry that I'm late and...
Don't worry about it, mate.
...sweating.
I like to play loads of my songs, though, and that's my favourite thing to do.
That's a boon for you, isn't it?
Oh, I love it.
So actually, I've helped you out.
Absolutely loved it.
Do you want my iPhone?
I would, actually. Oh, Joe, what's just happened? Like, the worst thing that could have happened.
You've, It's probably not the worst thing that could have happened. What has happened?
the cable for the that I plug it into just I just let it go and it went down the hole.
Oh, it's okay. I can see it.
Can you see it?
Yeah,
is it on the floor? Probably the most shambolic episode we've ever done.
Yeah, a lady is feeding it through the hole.
Amanda, she got a name, mate. Come on.
But I don't like to be too familiar with it. You know? I'll plug my guy in.
Absolutely. How are you doing? First.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, mate.
Feeling good?
Yeah. Oh, I've just got a pint of water.
You feeling...
As have you.
Feeling pretty confident about your...
Well, the thing is, I don't really know what is on this machine.
Do you not listen to it much?
I do, but I listen to the things that I've bought recently. So
yes.
I know what I've bought recently, but beyond that, it's a bit of a mystery. What's an average number of songs to have on one of these?
Well, I thought...
You must have some experience here.
Well, yeah.
What are you packing?
See, I've got close to 9,000, right? But
yeah,
it turns out most people I've had on have got, like, you know, 20,000. They've got loads.
Yeah, you see, I don't really like music. Uh-huh. I've got 4,587.
Okay.
So that feels low.
But still, we're not going to get through all of them.
Well, how long am I here for?
You are here for about a year.
Listen, we'll break the back of it at least. We'll get to 2,000 and then we'll call it a night.
Then we'll call half time.
So do I... When do I... How does it work?
Well, you know, normally I could have a little chat, get to know you.
Yeah, sure.
Say
sure,
hi.
Sure.
But you seem quite nervous about it. You want to go straight into this?
No, I don't. I'm really...
Do you know what, that's fine.
I'm very easy. I mean, it's your show. I will do what I'm told. But I'm happy to... So basically, I'm happy to either talk or talk about the music or listen to the music.
Love it.
Pick. You just pick.
This is normally the chat we'd have off air, Rick.
Yeah. I think it's good to be very clear to the listeners.
Really clear.
What's happening.
It's exactly what's going
to
happen.
You know, what I am prepared to do and what I'm not prepared to do.
Yeah. But you are prepared to do all of them, but not at once.
Yeah, I don't want to do them all at once.
You can't talk and...
I can't talk and listen to music.
And listen to the music, yeah.
When the music is on, I'm going to ask you to pipe down.
Yeah.
We'll just enjoy the music.
Shut my mouth.
Yes, please.
So you don't really... What would you say? Do you think you love films more than music or music more than films?
Oh, so if I had to just enjoy one of those...
For the rest of your life, you can't do the other
one. I'm going film.
Every time.
Every time. Although obviously I'm slightly cheating because I'm getting a bit of soundtrack in there, aren't I?
You do. What if I told you the soundtrack is all gone, so you just have to watch?
So it's silent. So, what about the Foley? What about the sound effects?
The sound effects. Because stay in there.
Okay. Well,
just
I'm still taking film.
No music.
Still
so that ruins Tarantino films for you forever, probably.
I mean
they're very good.
They are good.
But imagine.
I'm wondering how significant the music in something like Jaws is. But is it just a bit flat without that music? Maybe.
I bet it would be. I bet you just see the shark come along and go, oh, the shark. Or would it be more tense?
Is this a good... I think this might be a good idea for a new show. We watch films together where we've taken off the soundtrack and see if they're rubbish or not.
I think that would be quite good.
Yeah.
And
perfect for the radio as well.
Really perfect for the radio. It's me and you describing exactly what the... Yeah, it's a shark's thing now.
This bit is a bit flat.
Flat, but... I don't know.
So no, I would take films, and I'd take films even if they were stripped of their soundtrack.
What was the last film you watched and not even enjoyed? Just can you remember what?
Well, the last film I watched was also a film I enjoyed, Magic Mike.
Oh yes,
Triple XL.
Yeah,
it was magnificent.
You loved it,
really, really enjoyed it.
You wouldn't look out of place in that film, if you don't mind me saying.
No, I mean, the opposite of mind. Yeah. I actively encourage you to say that. Yeah. It's brilliant. Also, the sort of audience that you get for a film like that, very enjoyable audience.
Yes,
really amped up ladies who might not be on a hen do, but might as well be on a hen do,
and then just
shouting,
you.
Whooping, and then me, my girlfriend, and my mate. And at one point, this genuinely. So, this sounds like a joke, but genuinely happened. About 30 minutes in, a guy got up from his seat, like the only other guy in there, I think, got up from his seat, came over to us and just whispered, "Is this Terminator?" and we said, "No, mate." And he walked out.
Did he?
But I love the idea that for 30 minutes he was watching it thinking, this is not, I mean, I know it's the, you know. I mean,
it's
I
not
know
a million new, miles
yeah,
away.
Yeah, I mean, they're naked, but they haven't taken anyone's clothes and boots and motorbikes. Yeah.
One of them could be a robot.
Yeah,
from the future.
But I really enjoyed that film. I thought it was absolutely ideal. I enjoyed the first one.
Yes.
Channing Tatum, lovely dancer. Really,
he's
lovely dancer.
He's very, very good. And you know what's nice is occasionally just having an actor who surprises everyone. Because like we all kind of maybe wrote him off early doors.
Thinking, when you were watching Step Up and thinking, I don't think
pretty
this
boy,
guy can...
Yeah, don't care about this guy.
Pretty boy, he can dance, but what else can he do?
He does everything. He's funny.
He is funny.
Really funny. And he's also very good in Foxcatcher. He's a very good series
actor. He's amazing in Foxcatcher. Yeah, he's a good man. He's also got one of the thickest necks in the business.
Really?
Such a thick neck. You know, one of those necks that is wider than the head.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost like he's had a different head fitted.
Yeah.
He used to have a massive head, and now he's got a normal-sized head popped on, but
some plastic
the neck
surgery.
Is retained.
It happens a lot in Hollywood, plastic
yeah,
surgery.
Yeah, it does. You go in, you say, look, new head for me, I think.
I went, do you want to do the neck as well? Because it makes sense. Nah.
No.
I've got the
no,
the
I like the
for
neck.
That.
Yeah, yeah. I'll come back.
Yeah.
If the next films do well,
I'll get
a proportionate neck.
For now, no one will notice. Right, well, let's...
Ever thought about having your head swapped?
Me, having my head swapped? Good question, actually.
And if so, obvious.
Who would I have it swapped with?
And do they have to agree? That's the tricky bit.
I think they would have to agree, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But, like, in an ideal world, they would.
Yeah.
It'd be absolutely someone who wants my body.
Yes.
And that is immediately...
That doesn't narrow it down.
Immediately we've gone right down to slim pickings, haven't we? Someone who would not mind... But then would that mean that they are... It's really, like... I am my head, aren't I? Well, that's such a Carl Pilkington thing to say.
No. I understand what you mean. I think what I'm giving you is I'm giving you the head...
Yeah,
but I'm allowing you to retain your own brain.
Okay,
your brain is you.
So the brain is me.
So you've now got Casey Affleck's head.
Yeah,
but you've got your brain.
Good example. He might make the cut. Actually,
yeah, he's a good one, isn't he? Nice guy. Yeah. Nice looking man.
I quite like him.
Also, I think he might suit your body. Because you don't want to pop. I don't know. You don't want to pop the Rock's head on your body.
No, don't want to get a beefcake on it.
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to topple. I would topple very easily. Casey Affleck. Also a bit of a weed.
Yeah, but not... I mean, I wouldn't say you were a weed. I just think you're a slim gentleman.
Well, you're very kind.
Nice, slim physique.
Very kind, but, you know, imagine me in the dance chorus of Magic Mike.
What do you think I'm doing now?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, obviously, yeah. I think that's what you've been doing since you walked through that door, to be honest, Rick. Mm-hmm. Probably what you've been doing all day. It's why you're running late, right?
It's the anticipation.
Just sitting at home imagining me in the Magic Mike chorus. Going, oh.
Yeah, but weirdly with Casey Affleck's head.
Yeah, with Casey Affleck's head going, this is absolutely lovely.
Can I get an answer from you?
Lovely.
You can't just say Casey Affleck.
Can't just be Casey Affleck. You'll just be the first person you brought up. Kermode. Mark Kermode.
That's nice.
I quite like that.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I'll take Mayo.
Yeah, and we could
we'll do a pilot for a TV show that may or may not get picked up.
Yeah, I think it would be. It would get picked up pretty quickly. It's Rick Edwards and James Acaster with Simon Mayo and Mark Kermode's heads, but their own brains.
And I guess what you'd have to do is then brackets, weirdly. Yeah. Close brackets.
Yeah.
You've got to acknowledge that that's a strange situation.
With their own brains, though. It really is important that they know.
I guess maybe just a lot of asterisks.
Yeah.
So it's Kermode and Mayo, asterisk.
Yeah.
Obviously, they haven't got their bodies... Or their brains. Those are being taken care of by Acaster and Edwards.
Yeah, never.
As per.
Never mind what's happened to those. Right, great. Well, let's dive into your iTunes. Let's see what the first.
So I press shuffle, but I feel like I've cheated. I've seen what it is, but I want to be a surprise.
If you want to, you can pass it over to me.
Oh, yeah.
I can skip on to the next song. We can start on that, so you don't
even
know
what
it's going to be. So here we go.
The embarrassing thing will be when I can't identify it.
Well,
there's a high chance of that.
I think you'll be able to identify this pretty easily.
Go on then.
Here we go. Oh.
Not loud enough.
It's literally skipped again. That's the thing. Here we go. Queens of the Stone Age. Oh, it's skipped again.
Oh, dear.
Right, this is the most shambolic we've ever been. Here we go. Queens of the Stone Age there. On Rick Edwards' iPod. First It Giveth is the song title.
Wouldn't have got that.
You wouldn't have got that?
No,
from Songs for the Deaf?
Songs for the Deaf. I would have, I know what album it's from, but I'm genuinely happy. I think there's more humiliating stuff on there.
Queens of Stone Age, I think, is
very solid.
Absolute solid. No one's really going to go...
Also, one of my favourite bands.
They're very good.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Did you like Caius before then?
No.
They're a different band.
Yeah. I for a long time, had quite a big man crush on Josh, and I'm never quite sure how you're supposed to say his name.
I think it's Hom.
Okay, him. I just thought what a fantastic figure of a man.
Yes.
And then I did actually enjoy what's the Eagles of Death Metal, is that what they're called?
I don't know.
The
that
sort
one.
Of offshoot band
right,
that a
yeah.
couple of them were in. Also very very good stuff. They're on there somewhere.
Yep.
So I sort of felt like, actually, do you know what? If I am swapping heads, back to swapping heads.
Yeah,
I'll take Josh on.
You would take Josh on, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And I think
absolutely.
He's bigger than me, but I think his head would.
It would suit your body.
Sit all right. It would.
Yeah.
He's a real unit.
Yeah,
he's a real unit.
I think it'd be okay. You're listening to the best of and you were saying to me, is that you used to be a musician, you can play?
I am, yes. I Well, I had a band a long time ago. I taught violin and piano at school, and I got up to a certain level. I wasn't amazing, but I can still. I used, because when I was in my 20s, I did lots of acting jobs that were where they got cheap. You know, they would use actors who play instruments, and they got basically a cheaper rate musicians because MU rates are really kind of, you know, sort of like, you know, £100 an hour or something like that. So I did lots of parts where I would go, "Yes, my lord, he went that way," and spend the rest of the play going on my violin, you know.
Is that what happens in Jupiter Ascending? Are you are you playing a little?
I don't know. No,
you're playing a mandolin.
No, no. I do have a mandolin because the same strings as the violin. I've written a bit for. I did a mate's film, which was a sort of a docudrama about werewolves, if there's such a thing. And I did the score for that, which went on the Discovery Channel in America.
Oh, great.
And I really enjoyed doing that, and I like to do it more. But you know, it's. You know, when you've gone down one way.
Too busy acting. You're
too busy acting.
I mentioned Jupiter Ascending. Then that's out. When's that out?
I think it started yesterday. Actually,
it started yesterday.
Yeah.
Was it fun?
It was great.
It looks like it would have been fun to film. Like, you know, I've only seen the trailers.
Yeah.
But like, it looks like if you were making that, that would be a lot of fun. Like, you know, it's a lot of action and costumes and
I play an earthling person, so I'd look a bit, you know, cheesy, really.
Okay.
Like a cheesy Russian guy living in Chicago, but interestingly enough, it does. I mean, I think it's fantastic. I mean, already the critics are being a bit crap about it,
right?
But I think it's great. I think it's like one of those big, sprawling, kind of mad 70s films that people don't make anymore, you know.
Yeah.
And
I guess it's out at the same time as all the Oscar bait films. So, like, you know, the critics are in ultra critical mode.
Highfalutin mode.
And they're definitely going to just, like, you know, they'll be very snooty about anything that's not...
I mean, people are generally snooty about fantasy films, to be said. They're a little bit more cautious about slating off a kids' film.
Yeah.
But, sci-fi usually gets a bit of a kicking. But unfortunately, it looks like it hasn't... It might be a bit of a John Carpenter and not do very well. But okay. I think it's great. I think it's great fun. It was a bit... although it looks amazing when I occasionally walk around all the massive studios that it was all being shot in, and it was just all these amazingly shaped sets that were just green.
Right. You know? Yeah, of course.
And
they're
all going to have stuff sort of CGI'd on top of them, I suppose.
People on wires and stuff.
Lots of wire stuff, yeah.
And were you in scenes with Channing Tatum and
I wasn't.
Mila Kunis?
Well, I play Mila Kunis' uncle in it, so I had...
I should have known that. Just by looking at you, I should have known.
Can't see the resemblance.
Probably played Mila Kunis' uncle, I'd imagine.
Yeah, so I had a couple of scenes with her, yeah.
I've heard she's very nice, that's what I've heard.
She is, yeah, she's a good laugh,
not that you would say otherwise if she wasn't on a radio show.
No, she was she was up for a bit of banter, yeah.
Great fun. Is it the Wachowski brothers?
Wachowski siblings now, because Larry has become Lana.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a very, because there isn't much footage of them. They were very private. And there is some footage of Larry with like a baseball cap, speaking a little bit sort of shyly. And Lana has now got sort of like Camden Town dreadlocks.
Yeah.
And... they're both absolutely charming, lovely people. I have to say. And a good laugh. You can really have a good laugh with them.
Yeah,
are really approachable for, you know, American directors. There's no.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend who her sister worked on the wardrobe for a not American director, but for Mike Lee.
Oh yeah,
and accidentally left all the wardrobe for the day that she just bought in Tesco. And obviously, instantly, she got it back, but she said that the time in between, it was her first day working, and it was her first film she'd ever worked on, and she just thought, of all the people.
Oh, God, no.
To just leave.
No.
Leave his wardrobe in her face. Not Mike Lee.
No.
And, I mean, she got it back and she was okay, but, like, who... I don't think she'd be working now if she'd left that there.
Yeah.
Yeah, been awful, awful. Are you excited? I mean, actually, are you excited about BAFTAs and Oscars, or do are actors more kind of like, you know...
It depends what's in play. It's you awards across the board. It's like I never watch the Brits or anything like
that.
It's just
yeah.
it's always the big sellers. It's the big movies. Or it's cynically the ones that have just come out.
Yes,
and it's very rare that I think, oh, I'm so glad that that got a nomination at least. Yeah. You know, I'm really pleased that Boyhood. Because I think that's so fantastic.
And it's remarkable.
It is. It's like it's unique. It's like a social document or something, as well as being a great film.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever felt that way watching a film, because of you are watching somebody genuinely. You're watching all of them grow up and go through changes, and I love how you watch him, the main character, get worse as an actor and then better as well. Like you see him become a teenager, so be more self-conscious and not really grumpy. Be very good at acting during that, because you can tell he feels a bit stupid doing it, and then as he gets older he gets good at it again.
So
you feel like you're on a journey with the real life person as well as the character in the film. I thought that was really amazing.
And of course it's so, something like that is so well put together, so that, you know, it's not like the technology has changed, or the lighting specs and all that kind of thing, and the color design all matches over a period of 12 years. Which is the sort of stuff that you don't know unless you work in film. It's just incredible for that, really.
And what's nice about that is what you're saying about, you know, you can get quite cynical with nominations. You know, that was released in April.
Yeah, it was,
and
wasn't it?
The
yeah.
first song, the whole thing opens with Yellow by Coldplay, is the first song in the film, which, you know, is the kind of thing that if that came up on this show on someone's iPod, they'd be embarrassed about. You know, like you know, they're not trying to win anything with
I've
that film.
That, yeah.
You know, they're not trying to, at no point are they trying to win. They're just making the film they wanted to make.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is nice, because obviously, you know, as much as I have really enjoyed Whiplash and Birdman and stuff like that, when they get released this time of year, you do go, see what you're doing. And it's crazy, isn't it? Because you go, are the people in the Academy really so... Their memory is so bad.
I know.
It has to be stuff that's just been released. It's crazy.
It's a sort of political thing. It's just not right, I don't think.
No.
Just to choose something from the last... It is unusual and great that Boyhood is up there.
Yeah. Of course, you know, we say awards and nominations aren't important. Downton Abbey has done pretty well, hasn't it? That's pretty cool. If you don't mind, I've just skipped the Brian Eno song, because we know that it's going to come up.
Right, oh yes, it's not a surprise.
On your iPod, so I thought we'd have a bit more of a surprise coming up next.
Right, okay.
Rather than that. Lower one band like that, and another band who, like... I will buy albums by bands because I like the idea, even if the result isn't as good. So like that Low album, when it's all the whole thing's slow.
Yeah.
I like owning that. And then there's a band called Prince Horn Dance School,
ooh,
who I really like. But it's minimalist. It's like really minimalist. It's just like drums, bass, guitar, but like it's no real chords in there. It's all just like rhythmical.
Yeah.
But very like repetitive and just minimal. And I really like them, but I could only listen to half an album at a time.
Yeah.
Even though I like all of their songs, but like I would have to just like listen to it in chunks. I probably couldn't go to a gig.
Yeah. No, it's just too much of the same idea.
Yeah.
Which is very brave, isn't it?
Because
a lot of bands try and make sort of compilation albums themselves, don't they? So they do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to hone things, like, you know, I don't know, like Wes Anderson,
Like, do the same thing over and over until you've got exactly what you want. Just keep on going, yeah, I did the same film again. What's your problem?
Yeah, same colour scheme, yeah.
Yeah, I did it.
Yeah, bright yellows.
And I love him, by the way. I do love him. I love what, but it's probably one of my favourites. But, what's interesting about him as well is that a lot of people I know who like him, everyone's got a different favourite film.
Absolutely. There's just going to ask you what your favourite was, because everybody's got a...
But also, everyone's got one they just think, that's not as good as the rest of them. Don't like that one. They messed up there. And it's always different.
Yeah.
And it's always when we say, so my favourite is actually Darjeeling Limited is my favourite one.
I really like that. I'd like to see that again, actually. I've got that, actually. But there's the first one, what's it called?
Bottle Rocket?
Oh, no, I haven't seen that. The one with the mountain, Rushmore. I really didn't like that at all. I just wanted to slap that kid a lot.
Yeah. But then that's fair. I know some people, Rushmore is their favourite. They won't hear anything else. That is their favourite one. That's
absolutely
the best one.
Yeah.
I saw Graham Linehan tweeted that he didn't like Life Aquatic.
That's my favourite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. It's this thing.
That film.
Ones that are... Oh, I think Life Aquatic's, brilliant. I'd probably say... I mean, Bottle Rocket, if you haven't seen that one, it almost doesn't count because it's his first film.
Right, yeah.
So it doesn't look like a Wes Anderson film. The sense of humour is the same.
Yes.
And even the acting isn't a bit more mainstream and stuff. It's a bit more normal, but it's very funny. It's a very funny film with the Wilson brothers as the main characters.
Oh, it's
the
Wilson brothers in it, right? Yeah,
they're like the leads in it, and it is a very funny film. And Owen Wilson was still writing films with him at that point. It was the first one.
Oh, right.
So it was him and Owen Wilson wrote it, but it just doesn't look the same as the rest of them. But I would say, even though I like it, Moonrise Kingdom might be my least .
Yeah.
Bottle Rocket is my least one, it doesn't count, but Moonrise Kingdom is that one. There's something about it that I don't connect to as much.
Mm.
Whereas other people I know, they love the fact that it's mainly about how the kids have more emotion than the adults and things like that. So, what a great guy!
Oh, he's a marvelous man.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
My guest today is Paul Kassar. Hello, Paul.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good, thanks, mate. Bit flustered. Don't know where my mics are. So
no. Well, I mean, we're sitting here and there's about six of them around us. So
it's very confusing. Yeah. Also, in my defence, that mic was where my mic usually is.
Exactly. So he was lulled in there. So went straight for it, as you should.
Still stupid, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Still pretty stupid. Have you ever, Paul, bought an album just because you liked the cover? And then put it on your iPod and then it gets played in a radio show. That's what just happened to me.
No, but that was a good example of it.
It's a great example.
It's got a music for serial killers.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I haven't got a massive amount against that song, really. But, I mean, it's the kind of song, definitely, that when I started this show, I was like, well, I hope that Sunburned Hand of the Man album doesn't pop up at any point. That was mainly because I like the name, really.
It is a great name.
Sunburned Hand of the Man is a funny...
Sunburned Hand of the Man.
...name for a band.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's very cool.
I'll get that. And then I remember getting home and being like, oh, it's that. But I just put everything on my iPod. Because at some point I might get into it.
You have to. Yeah, just be ruthless. Put everything on there and, yeah.
That album was from... I bought that on what at the time was one of the best days of my life.
Okay.
Me and my girlfriend at the time went to London.
Right.
We had a very short-lived... We had this really short window of a relationship that was both convinced we were fully in love with each other. Looking back, we were not, Paul.
Right.
But at the time, it was this is... We lived in Northampton kind of thing. So one day we were like, let's just go to London.
Yeah.
I just decided... I haven't really been to London before. Mm. And just the whole day, just going sightseeing. I remember just going to this record shop. It'd be like, I've got to buy an album to remember the day by.
Sure.
And it's that.
Wow. Says it all, really.
That is the album that... If I wanted to remember that day in my life, I'd have to listen to that.
So we've just opened all those wounds there.
Yeah. It's come up and gone, no, that's why the relationship didn't work. That absolutely was an omen, that album.
Insistence on playing that album over and over again.
Yeah, just listen to it all the way home.
Killed it.
All the way home, listening to that album. I believe that album's seven tracks of that as well.
I was just getting into it there, to be fair, though. I was quite enjoying it, yeah.
Rhythm started to kick in at the end there.
It did. I was starting to feel it. It kind of reminded me of Iggy Pop.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Iggy Pop puts a bit more effort in, I'd say.
Depends what day you get.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. To be honest, to be fair, I'm giving him a bit too much credit there.
I saw him at the Isle of Wight a couple of years ago, and he was absolutely amazing, kind of staggered on, played this incredible set. And as he left the stage, like literally a minute later, he just ran back on, totally infused, and just screamed out, "Fuck you!" And then just walked off. It was amazing. The whole audience, just an absolute shock. It was like, where did that come from?
Fuck yeah, well, fuck you.
The fuck you! Cheers, Ig.
One of the things I really love is people saying fuck you to a group of people or anyone or just one person.
Just really, it's really funny. Yeah, obviously really upset him.
The Hives, for a while, just used to end their sets. They just play the last chord and then all give the audience the finger.
Brilliant.
At the same time, but with complete straight faces.
Yeah.
So they would just like robots, they play the last chord and then just swear at everyone.
Genuinely meant it.
No, well. Yeah. And that was the end of the...
Obviously, hate their audience.
Do you ever feel like that with a... When you're acting, obviously, like, I say obviously as if I know what I'm even talking about.
It's
but, like,
I don't.
There's fourth wall and stuff up a bit more. Like, with comedians, if we're having a bad gig... We tend to make it even worse or better by stepping out of the gig and having a go at the audience.
Sure.
We can say what we like to it. If someone's talking in the audience, we can just be like, mate, do you want to shut up?
Just vent some spleen.
Yeah, you can be really rude to them and the customer's not always right and it's fine.
Yeah.
And I've been to a lot of plays where the people in the audience just doing the same behaviour that I would hate at a comedy gig and that I almost can't carry on doing stand-up when someone's doing it, so I instantly go into them. But you guys can't do that. You're responsible for each other. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah, you've just got to sort of grin and bear it and just carry on. You break out of character and the whole thing just kind of tumbles. So.
Have you ever been tempted? Has there ever been like one where it's like you're on the verge?
A few times. Yeah, so other people sort of talking all the way through it. Yeah, because it's so distracting. But, you've just got to try and block it out.
Kevin Spacey did that thing once, didn't he, when he was in character?
Yeah, and somebody was using their mobile phone.
That's it.
So I think, yeah.
But then...
But that's Kevin Spacey.
You're Spacey, aren't you?
Yeah.
You can do it if you're Spacey.
Yeah, I reckon he'd just been waiting for the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and everyone just goes, yeah. Because I did a gig once at the Ivy that the Old Vic had put on. It was a fundraiser for the Old Vic, I think.
Sure.
Because they probably do need it. I don't know. I was about to sarcastically say they need it, but then I was like, I don't have a clue.
No.
But Alistair Campbell was doing a talk beforehand, and then the comedy, and Spacey's in the audience.
Right.
Bloody loving it. obviously, Spacey left before the stand-up started, just left with Campbell off to get
some... I'm done. My work here is done.
Oh, yeah. But it was weird, so there was a whistleblower on first giving a talk about whistleblowing.
Okay.
So, and it was like very serious, and I'm kind of speaking out against the Blair government, actually, because that was when he was kind of chucked out and screwed over quite a bit. Yeah. And there's loads of lies spread about him in the media.
Yeah.
So kind of went on and went, the guy, basically might as well have said the guy's about to come on is a liar and I think he's a disgusting man and he ruined my life.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was kind of like really like, and then like Alistair Campbell went on. And it was really amazing how a room full of, mainly actors, I think, but also just people who went to the Ivy.
Sure.
So, yeah, mainly people who went to the Ivy anyway were the members.
Right.
And just how quickly they just lapped up Alistair Campbell and forgot. Because I was sitting there going, well, if that's true, I hope you address it.
Sure.
And he kind of didn't. He just went on and told a load of stories about him and Spacey hanging out.
Right.
And everyone was like loving it.
So quite fickle then.
Yeah, but really just being like celebrities.
Yeah, yeah.
They all went to. He said about him and Spacey walking into a McDonald's in Ipswich.
Right.
And the guy behind the counter couldn't believe his eyes. And that was the end of the story.
That was it. They didn't even tell you what they ordered.
Not what they ordered, not what happened.
Fish man.
Yeah, exactly. I imagine Spacey and Campbell say fillet of fish.
Fillet of fish.
I know. Campbell probably still says fillet.
Fillet of fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Campbell would still keep it as fillet and
feels about right.
Spacey would say fillet.
Fillet.
Yeah.
Fillet of fish.
You can imagine if he was Usual Suspects, that character would say fillet.
That'd be amazing. Fillet.
And so would American Beauty Kevin Spacey. I'm trying to think of a Kevin Spacey character that wouldn't say fillet and that would say fillet.
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 I've just been watching House of Cards.
Just came back on, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Addicted?
Friday. Yeah, first two seasons.
Yeah.
Really, really got into it.
It's very good.
But that would be fillet.
Yeah.
Sure. That wouldn't be a fillet.
He would say fillet. He'd be like,
fillet.
I like a fillet.
Fillet.
Yeah, like, turn to the camera. Naturally, normally, I'd get a fillet. You're listening to the best of football. Marcus Bentley, hello.
Hi, James.
My guest today, which I'd normally say at the top, and I didn't today, Marcus Bentley, best known as the voice of Big Brother. I'm trying to think now of a lot of... I'd like to make a playlist of songs that are named after other musicians as well. Buddy Holly by Weezer, that would be one that was on there. So I think LCD Sound System did Daft Punk Is Playing at My House. That was a big one.
Well, yeah,
I think you can make a whole album based on that kind of stuff.
You got me thinking.
You just kind of, it's quite hard, isn't it, when you start properly thinking about it. But I'm sure we could think of more. But yeah, that's nice, man. That's nice. Are you a big Sopranos fan?
I love the Sopranos.
See, I've never seen it.
Well, do you know what? Like, quite a few lads have said that to me lately. I thought, you gotta watch it, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All those references you're missing, James, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know what? That probably finished 10 years ago, didn't it?
Yeah, it would have finished a long time ago.
Yeah.
But there's so many... who's got time to watch all of the...
Yeah, you've got to watch that as classic.
The box
though.
Sets. But that one is one of the ones where you kind of think, yeah, I should.
Mind you, it is pretty violent and it's, you know...
I like that kind of stuff. I like a bit of violence. You know. Well, yesterday I watched The Purge. Have you ever seen that?
No.
I don't know why I watched The Purge. I've got Netflix and I'm going through it. There's so many options of things that I could watch. And I watched The Purge, which had been given one star. But I thought, yeah, I've always heard of The Purge and I think it's an interesting idea that it's in a future where there's one night a year where... everything's legal. You can do whatever you like. All
I saw that advertised on a bus stop last year.
Yeah, and so you're allowed to kill people if you want, and just what people would do. And I thought I'd watch that. It really depressed me.
Did it deserve more than one star?
Maybe two stars, but I'll probably double the star rating.
Yeah.
But from what I gather, like, because there's been a lot of sequels, and I think a lot of the sequels have... with the Alien films, where like the first Alien film was actually almost a play. It's amazing. Yeah. It's very good. Uh-huh. And then the second one is also very good, but it's just them going, we'll take the Alien and we'll just make it all about... Imagine if there was loads of them and just the action movie with that. And just take the core idea of imagine if there was an Alien and we'll do that loads.
Yeah.
And I think like The Purge... they've kind of gone with the first one. They've gone like, right, you know, imagine this future, but here's the story I'm going to do. And it's going to be about the family and their how that they've got to like weigh up what they believe in and their morals and stuff and all this. And I think the sequels to The Purge have just gone, no, just imagine if everyone was allowed to kill each other. And so they just do that for the sequels and stuff. So
yeah, sounds nasty.
I watched the one where they're trying to do it a little bit nicer.
Yeah,
but it's still pretty old. I mean, Ethan Hawke's in it. That's the only thing that swung me. I was like, well, Ethan Hawke wouldn't do something that's completely rubbish.
You haven't
surely.
Saw it to me, James. No,
no, yeah, no. I don't think you should watch it. That's the kind of violence that depresses me.
Yeah, well, I've started watching that Peaky Blinders. I'm always a little bit behind the times. Now, we're on the wife and I were watching the first series. We're about episode 3. It's really, really good.
I'm being told it's really, really good. I was reading about it today. That's on Netflix. I should just watch Peaky Blinders. I started watching Bloodline today. I don't know why everyone's told me not to watch it, but I really like the two leads.
Yeah.
I love the two lead actors.
You're your own man.
Do you know what? I am, actually. I think that this show should be about me being my own man. Yeah. Put it out there. I watch what I like. I don't necessarily
that
like
could
the
could be a title of your series, your Channel 4 series.
So my Channel 4 series
He's
coming
his
out.
His own man.
He's his own man. And it's me doing stuff that the viewers hate.
Yeah.
This is rubbish, but he's his own. I mean, you knew what you were getting.
Yeah.
He's his own man. He does what he likes.
Absolutely.
Would you, before you did Big Brother, what's the...
What did you do in my life?
What's the history?
I was an actor. I've been, you know, at drama school.
Yeah.
In the 90s, I did loads of, like, as an actor, I was in loads of commercials.
Right.
I remember doing about 9 commercials, which appeared really well in the midnight. You know, when you're sort of just out of drama school and, like, you've done a bit of fringe theatre, then you do a bit of, bit of rep in those days. I remember going, you know, and I was dead chuffed to be getting £150 a week, which is great.
Yeah.
That was the equity minimum.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I get 9 commercials and think, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh great. And then I did some, I'd turn up a casting.
Yeah.
For 18 months, I'd get every single one of them. Every one I went for.
Yeah.
And then I went for one.
Yeah.
And I never got another commercial ever again.
Wow.
So this 18, this, this what do they call it? There's a phrase for anybody. These golden days of 18 months of like, well, I've got another one. And then nothing until I did one last year
right.
with Peter Dixon, the guy off of The X Factor.
Lovely.
Tonight!
Yes.
Yeah, and we had a great laugh. And,
was it based on that kind of stuff?
Me and him were sort of going around doing these voiceovers for this. Anyway, it was for a big newspaper and they were doing this reality TV list and we were, you know, we did this joint commercial and we had a great big yellow Hummer and we were travelling around in our posh dinner suits and what have you, going to events. And blah-de-blah. Anyway, it was funny to see us out of context and together.
Sure,
And so that, but that was the first commercial I'd done in what would be 18 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know.
I'd like to see a programme where it's you and Peter Dixon just doing voiceovers of various things. So literally,
Peter
like a duel.
Is making a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Tonight, Marcus!
Oh, that would be great. You two doing the voiceover of each other's lives.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd make a documentary about you. Yeah. Documentary
on
about
this
Peter.
Channel 4 programme of yours, your old man, we could do a little sketch, you know.
Yeah.
A little sketch insert.
I'd like to do that. I'd like to make a documentary about either one of both of you and then have you. Do the voice
we need
for
to
each
pitch this
one.
Don't we to one of the big channels
Well I mean I'd watch that
I'd watch it too
when you auditioned for Big Brother was there a lot of people who just all sounded like you or was it loads of different voices
I think what it was they I'd started doing voiceovers in 1998 so two years before Big Brother started and I was basically, as I said, I'd come to this hiatus where I was doing nout.
Yeah.
I was doing a bit of theatre, a bit of this and that, but my work had dried up.
Yeah.
So, right, I need a new agent. So I basically got contacts, the directory for agents and the business.
Yeah.
And I went through the agents and I randomly, did I even email? Was it email in those days? Probably was.
Yeah.
1998, I can't quite
remember. Yeah.
I probably wrote
yeah
and I said look I'm looking for new representation and the letter must have arrived on this desk and I'd accidentally wrote away to the biggest voiceover agency at the time in the country and they rang me up that day because it was 1998 and it was around the world it was just before the World Cup and Gazza who never went to the World Cup in the end because of some controversy they wanted to do whatever advert it was they wanted whoever to do an impersonation of Paul Gascoigne now they like a lot of people think that you know I don't know they think that just because you're from the North East you can do that's just a general sort of thing because I remember on a little side step when the great Bobby Robson got sacked from Newcastle United whenever that was that one of the newspapers was saying, "Hey, what's he gonna do now? He could do Ant and Dec's job. He could be the voice of Big Brother." And how disrespectful of Bobby Robson, really, just because he's from the northeast.
Yeah.
Any Geordie's job is his.
Yeah. Disrespectful to you as well. Let's face it.
You know, I'd like to think so.
Bobby Robson could step in.
So anyway, going back to the so I did this advert for I can't even remember what it was for. I think it was from a museum.
Right.
It was something like the Natural History Museum. It was something like that in London. Being Paul Gascoigne, and it had a World Cup edge to it, sort of.
Right.
Thing,
yeah.
And that was it. And I've never sort of looked. So when it came to sort of the producers of Big Brother looking for a voice to voice this show that nobody'd really heard of. There was rumblings in the paper because it had been big in Holland and it just came from a Dutch company.
Yeah.
Endemol is a Dutch company and it came from there. They'd done it to great success and so Channel 4 bought it and so they wanted a voice for it to narrate the show and they... So they just got when all these big voiceovers. So I was with a big voiceover agent accidentally, and they got all the tapes. They weren't even on CDs in those days. Nowadays, it would all be just some sort of MP3 or whatever
sent to them.
They listened to all these people. So there'd be famous people because on my agent's book there was loads of famous people, and just listen to everybody. So I think we'll have a group of famous people, a group of regional types.
Yeah,
and I was in that sort of section. Mm-hmm. And then I got this phone call and I just bought this which were a mini disc player but you could record on it and my agent rang me up and said look you need the bit of script they're quite like you for this job would you just you know and you've been shortlisted would you do a bit of script
yeah
I thought so we drove to one of the electrical store and we got this £8 mic
yeah
and we stuck it in the whatever I see a week because my wife drew, remember, and I recorded this bit of script, and it's typical Big Brother fare. It was things like Johnny's in the bathroom doing something he wouldn't want his mother to know type thing. And so and so's in the garden feeding the chickens.
Yeah.
And apparently it was that line that got me the gig.